just echo what our brother Davy said in his prayer. To thank you all for being here this morning, and we praise the Lord as we've been singing that Jesus loves me, that we are so glad. Subject this morning is Enoch, a man apart. And just before we look at Enoch, I just pray for the Lord's help this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy presence with us. It is thy presence that makes the feast. Because without thee, Lord, we are nothing. And without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. And we pray, Lord, for help this morning to bring forth the word of God according to thy will and for thy glory. We ask it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Enoch, a man apart, is we read about him in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and reading from the verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after that he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he got Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And in these verses we see that Enoch was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And that it was only after that, when Methuselah was born, that Enoch began to walk with God. And he walked with God then for 300 years. Now, as you know, I'm not a parent. But all of you who are parents know how you felt when for the first time you saw and held your firstborn child in your arms. And you realized how very vulnerable and dependent that child was on you. And so it seems that when Enoch saw his firstborn son Methuselah, that Enoch's thoughts and heart turned to God. And he then walked with God for the next 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And again in these verses we see that the birth of Methuselah had a profound effect on Enoch, that his thoughts turned to, and his heart turned to God, which then led to a change in Enoch's life, and so much so that he began to walk with God. And then after 300 years of walking with God, God took him. And the question begs asking, so why did God take him? Why did God take Enoch? And we can find the answer in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, which says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, that Enoch pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The question, so why did Enoch take Enoch? Answer, because by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And in these verses again, we see that God took Enoch because of Enoch's faith and testimony, in that Enoch pleased God, and that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in these verses we also see that after the birth of Methuselah, that Enoch diligently sought God, and that his reward was that after having walked with God for 300 years, that God translated him that he should not see death. Truly, Enoch was a man apart from the rest of his generation, in that Enoch, he by faith walked with God, and in doing so had this testimony that he pleased God. We turn to Thessalonians chapter 4. Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those them that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In these verses, again, we see that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will one day also be translated. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then in these verses, it is interesting to note that in verse 15, where Paul states that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, them which are dead. We which are alive and remain. And here we see that Paul was expecting the Lord to return at any time while Paul was living. Now we may in time become members of the dead in Christ, but while we are alive and remain, Paul challenges us to live our lives accordingly, as if the Lord's return is imminent, as he thought himself the Lord's return was imminent, and he lived his life according to that. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 15... 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading from verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we which shall be changed, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Paul says, I show you a mystery, that all believers shall not die, but that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they be dead or alive, that they will all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We all as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive an incorruptible and an immortal body. But Paul goes further in describing this incorruptible and immortal body when he tells the Philippians, our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Philippians, our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Who shall change our vile or lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3 and verse 20. So then, when we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ shall one day receive an incorruptible, immortal body fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body. And John adds to this description when he says, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John says, and adds to this description, when he says, behold, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. So then when we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ shall one day receive an incorruptible, immortal body, fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body, and that when the Lord appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And as the hymn writer says, what a day that will be, what a glorious day that will be when we see the Lord. So then by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we have seen this morning from the Bible readings that through Enoch's faith in God, that he was translated, and that his reward was that he should not see death, because he diligently sought God, and that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ shall also be translated. But unlike Enoch, many of us shall see death, and others shall be translated alive when the Lord returns. Enoch's translation was a reward for him diligently seeking God, but the believer's translation is dependent on the Lord's return to the earth. And then there is also a reward for believers who diligently seek the Lord. And if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and again reading from the first name. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul says that every man's work shall be seen for what it consists of. For the day of judgment shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try everyone's work of what sort it is. And here we see that every believer's work shall be tested by fire. No believer can avoid this test by fire at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then of all that the believer's works consists of is wood, hay, and stubble, of which the fire will consume, so that there's nothing left. Then they shall suffer loss of reward, but they shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then the believers whose works are like gold, silver, precious stones, which will come through the fire of the Lord's judgment, then they will receive a reward. The maxim, only one life will soon be passed, only the things done for Christ shall last, applies very much here. Only one life will soon be passed, only the things done for Christ shall last. Because a life lived for self is wood, hay, and stubble, and will burn up and is gone. Where a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ is like gold, silver, precious stones, which shall abide the fire, and the believer shall receive a reward. But notice this applies to believers' lives lived before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ and then not after it. If we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I am alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ have showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, after I am dead, to have these things always in remembrance. And again, in these verses, we see that Peter encourages all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love, because Peter says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then again, in verse 9, Peter warns us that the believers who lack these things are blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that they were purged from old sins. And therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In these verses we see that Paul's works of gold, silver, precious stones are Peter's works of virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And that the believer's reward, which Paul says that the believer whose works of gold, silver, precious stones, which shall come through the fire of the Lord's judgment, and the believer will receive a reward. Then Peter's works of virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness and love will result in the believer who has these works being given an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then Peter cautions us that the believer who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. So then their works are likened to Paul's works of wood, hay, and stubble, which will not abide the fire of the Lord's judgment. Because as Peter warns, that the believer who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Oh yes, these believers are saved good enough, but they have forgotten that the Lord has saved them. The Lord has saved them to serve him. And so they go on to live their life for self and not for the Lord. And so they shall lose their reward, or as Peter warns, an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as Peter is so serious about this, that he says in verse 12, that therefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Here Peter is saying to all believers that although you know the truth of this, that he will not be negligent to make sure that you remember it, and that he will always do so. Then in verse 15, Peter states that even after that he is dead, he will endeavour that believers may be able to have these things always in remembrance. And so he is doing this very day, as we are here reading this word. Paul and Peter warn us of loss of reward and an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, whose realm will be a vast realm with a likewise vast administration, a vast civil service. And the believer who enters into here abundantly with reward is able to take their place in the administration of this vast realm at a high level and enjoy their work. But the believer who enters in by fire, is there good enough, like by the skin of their teeth, but they will not be able to enter into the things which the Lord has prepared, as those who have the abundant entrance are able to do so. Those who enter in by fire will not be able to enter in to the things of the Lord which he has prepared for us who believe in him. Those who have the abundant entrance, as those who have the abundant entrance are able to do so. Those that enter with loss not enjoy the eternal kingdom as those who enter in with reward. As I was driving last night, I was thinking on this, and thoughts came to me that, you know, prior to the Lord setting up his everlasting kingdom, the Lord will return to the earth to rule in righteousness from Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And as the Lord returns to the earth to take up his position in Jerusalem as ruler, all believers will return with him. And the Lord is returning to Jerusalem. He's returning to work. He's returning to rule. And we as believers, we'll be there with him. Now, just to think that all believers who are ever saved returns with the Lord, that means there'll be millions of people returning to Jerusalem. The Lord's returning there to work. Are we all sitting there twiddling our thumbs doing nothing? Or are we saved to serve? Now, that the Lord returns to work was confirmed to me this morning when Davey was reading from Isaiah. And I just marked it here. Isaiah 40 and verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His reward is with him, and his work before him. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." As we are growing old, you know, as many of us are retired, you know, the body doesn't function like it looked, like it used to. You know, we all have aches and pains and lose mobility, and the prospect maybe of a new job and a new career and work is maybe not appealing. But when we consider that when we return with the Lord, we will receive a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And this makes all the difference. That body fashioned like unto his glorious body, you know, 1 minute you're in heaven, the next minute you're on earth. So if you're in Jerusalem with the Lord and he says you need to go to Cookstown, you're in Cookstown instantly. If you need to go somewhere else, you're there instantly. If you need to go anywhere around the world, you're there instantly. Because the Lord is not only ruling Israel from Jerusalem, he's ruling the whole world. And he'll have a vast administration. And we'll not all be sitting in Jerusalem, millions of believers twiddling their thumbs. They'll be out and about working for the Lord. And when you think that when you can travel in the instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you're in Jerusalem. In the twinkling of an eye, you're in Cookstown. In the twinkling of an eye, you're back in Jerusalem with the Lord. You know, is it not exciting? You know, that as we are an eye restricted by these bodies, as the years goes on, we get more and more restricted. But with the Lord, this new body, you appear in buildings through brick walls. The prospect of eternity with the Lord and that new body and the ability, what we'll be able to do, is exciting. And I know in our present state, it's hard to imagine, but what a future is before us with the Lord. And as Davey also said this morning, you know, in Isaiah, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The great and precious promises of the Lord. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had a testimony that he pleased God. So we have to ask the question this morning, do we please God? Do we diligently seek him? How is my walk this morning? How is your walk? Enoch, a man apart, walked with God. Amen. Do a closing prayer, please.
Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our gathering this morning. Our gathering was unto him this morning as we remember them round the table. a gathering in the second meeting was unto thy word, Father. And we thank you for thy word is truth.
Yeah.
And we thank you for the clarity of it, Lord, and the challenge of it, Lord. And help us, Lord, as James could say, let us not only be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of it in these days, Lord. And it is a real challenge to us all, Lord, that we at times we all fail, our shortcomings and our weaknesses are many. We've all got them, Lord. And we'd be foolish, Lord, to think that we don't. But, Lord, we know that thou art there beside us, Lord, to help us and to guide us and strengthen us, as very our brother has told us, Lord. And that there will be rewards in heaven. As very been said, we'll see that all through Scripture, that there'll be rewards in heaven for us, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, that we'll not just be there for just, we just made it, but Lord, help us, Lord, that we'll be in and about thy word and thy work in these days, Father. For it's now, as very been said, Lord, it's now that we're creating a place that will be rewarded when Paul told us what he's looking for is a well done, faithful servant.
Yes.
And Father, may that be all in our thoughts and our minds, Lord, in these days, Father, to hear the Lord saying, well done and faithful servant. Don't know how I'll fare, Lord, but none of us know how we'll fare, but there we leave it to you and into your hand for help in these days. Thank you for our brother Sam. Thank you, Father, for the time he's put into it, Lord. And it's truly from thyself, Father, and the challenge of thy word we give you thanks. This we pray, you'll take us from this place, take us all homes in safety. Let nothing befall us for the way. And that, Father, when we return again, we turn to the prayer meeting, Lord, and also for the gospel for our brother Harold Williamson. We give you thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.